Good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company on another exciting edition of Duncan's Garage. You know us. It's our musical excursion into broadcast excellence. Hard to believe this is our first program of our fourth season. Yeah, I've been with the station, I guess, about a year and a half, couple years, and we have a lot of great music coming your way. We've got some great national Christian artists, such as the one you're going to hear from in just a few minutes. We've got a guy playing the harp that's going to be coming in studio, and all kinds of good stuff. If you want to be on the program, just get in touch with me, rstafford@howardcc.edu. Again, rstafford@howardcc.edu. In a previous life, I worked with a lot of publicists, and the same publicist that you're going to hear for the next few artists is absolutely fantastic. But she gave me the information of a national Christian artist by the name of Jennifer Shaw. She said, "Have you heard this?" I said, "No." And so she gave me, this is about 6 or 8 weeks ago, forwarded me her website, jennifershaw.com. Check it out. Wonderful, powerful story. And I'm listening to her latest single. Actually, I wasn't even listening to it. I was listening and watching the music video. It's called How Far Love Goes. Before the end of the track, I knew I wanted to have her inside the garage. I knew I wanted to have her on the show. And she's a phenomenal talent. She's been through a lot, to say the least, with her family, and just God's brought her through a lot. He really has. So, Jennifer Shaw, welcome to Duncan's Garage. Good to have you here.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Let's just go back. Your background is classically trained piano player and worship leader. Am I correct?
Yeah, and actually opera singer. That was my job for a while. So, yeah, all classical music.
Very cool. Was this going back to high school and college as far as the opera thing?
Actually, I went to college for piano, but I had, when I went up to do my piano audition, they asked me, my choir director from high school told me to audition in voice too because he knew I needed money. I had to put myself through school. So
right.
I auditioned, sort of literally memorized the songs on the way up. I had been playing my piano audition for a year, and I ended up getting a scholarship in voice. So I had to study voice to keep it. And so then I went to graduate school in voice, and I ended up teaching that for a while before I switched to what I'm doing now, which is completely different.
Very, very
cool.
That's
what I did for a while.
That's a great transition. I want to get into that. I was looking at your information, your website, your very extensive bio. You were kind of doing the whole teaching music thing. You're very happy. Found your songs on Christian radio. Just take me through that whole process, if you would.
Well, we had, I would have called it sort of a perfect life, you know, where we had our two little girls, and I was teaching at Cedarville University, and I was singing what they call the symphony.
Right.
Just sort of doing everything that I wanted to do. And then we went through a time that I would call a refining fire, where just sort of everything that I had kind of stood on in my life got swept away at the same time. And I was actually a fairly young Christian. I didn't meet the Lord until I was in my 20s. And so my faith was kind of new. And all of a sudden I was thinking, wow, like, is it supposed to work this way? Or, you know, can I count on this faith when everything? So, we tried to have another baby, wasn't happening. And then after a long time, we got pregnant, and then I lost baby, and I actually almost died. And so I remember that being this incredibly, horribly traumatic, awful thing, but also where you, on one day you have all these plans for your whole life, and then the next day you wake up and you're like, wait a minute, like, I didn't realize, like, we're really not promised tomorrow.
Right.
And suddenly you're grappling with all these thoughts of, you know, why really are we on this planet? And what is our purpose here? Like, what's the point of this life? And what are we doing?
Right.
And then, you know, I had to recover from that for a couple of months, and they finally let me go back to teach. And almost immediately, it was like my second day back, I got the news that my dad, who was quite young, had been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, which is ALS. And that was just sort of unthinkable. You know, my little brother was still in high school. It was just this, I didn't know anything about ALS. I didn't realize it's not treatable.
Right.
There's no cure.
Right.
It's always fatal. And so actually what happened there was I just fell on the floor of my office. I will never forget that day. Just sobbing in my office at Cedarville, and opened my Bible at random and I saw Psalm 42. It said, "Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so discouraged within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him." And I just told the Lord, I said, "I have no hope. I've just learned there's no hope. But if you give me some hope, I will try to put it in you." And I turned the page, and Psalm 46 said, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains shake and fall into the heart of the sea." And then later on in that psalm, it says, "Be still and know that I am God."
How long ago was all this?
Oh, this is quite a while ago.
Okay, man. You know, it just seems like he just met you right then and there in your office.
Yeah. Oh, it was sort of a stunning moment of just excruciating pain, but realizing that God just, like, was right there with me, like, just showed up in that moment. And I got up off the floor, and I wrote a song called Be Still. And you have to understand, I mean, I was still completely classical. This is a worship song.
Right.
And I wrote Be Still, and I wrote it for my dad. I did not have any intention of doing any of what I'm doing now. On the side, I had been leading worship at this church, mostly because they needed somebody, not because I thought I was great at it. And
right.
And I had been writing songs for the band at that church. And so eventually I went and made this little album for my dad. No one was supposed to hear it. I had no money. We had no budget. We did it in this horrible little warehouse, broken windows in the middle of winter. The guitars would go out of tune. It was so cold, you know. But we put this together, and it was just meant to be a Christmas present for my dad before he died, because
right.
I knew how much he loved what I was doing at church. And so I started getting mail, like, 6 months later from, you know, I got mail from South Africa and mail from Thailand, and I found out a Romanian television show was using one of those. And I was like, what is going on? And we realized that someone had put it on radio surf, and we ended
up,
I mean, that's a miracle. That, you know, you're in this. This does not happen.
Oh, it doesn't, believe me. Yeah,
we got added by so many stations, and I remember thinking, if I had known, I would have tried harder.
That is fantastic. Let's take a quick break right here. I want to get back to, I mean, it's just a powerful story. And let's have you hear, let's see, what track is it? This is How Far Love Goes, track 3. The video is fantastic, too. You're going to have this song stuck in your head for a while. Here's Jennifer Shaw and How Far Love Goes from her album Nothing to Fear here on Duncan's Garage. Give it a listen.
Thank you.
And you just heard a wonderful piece by Jennifer Shaw entitled How Far Love Goes. It's from her new CD entitled Nothing to Fear. Jennifer, take me back to this song. It's powerful, and it's actually one of the only songs on the CD that you did not write, correct?
Yes. In fact, it's very rare. There's only been a couple songs in my whole career that I have released that I haven't written. And that one was written by dear friends of mine. It was written by Paul Marino, who's my producer, and Jeremy Johnson, who I have written with before, and he did a lot of work on this new album, too. Mm-hmm. I had written about half the album, and I went down to finish writing, and I often co-write with Paul. And he, you know, we're good friends at this point. We've done a lot of projects together. And he just played it for me. He said, hey, listen to what Jeremy and I just wrote. And I was like, that is actually exactly what, like, one of the messages that I came with the intention of writing with you. You know, it was like, you know, because we, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but we in the last 2 years have adopted 3 kids in the last 2 years from China.
Right.
3 older kids with medical needs. And when I talk about them in the shows, people will say to me all the time, you know, it's kind of radical. Like, that's really far that you went and, you know, to take on older kids with medical needs. And that just seems like, you know, like almost like you went too far kind of thing. And I think it makes me think of how far Jesus went for love of us. And,
right.
I mean, just, so, you know, Philippians says he put off the glory of heaven that was his right. And he didn't have to do that. I mean, he could have stayed there, and he came all the way to earth just for love of us.
Exactly.
And I just wanted to get that across in my shows. And so when I heard the song, I was like, well, that's it. I couldn't get it out of my head.
Exactly.
I had to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you say how far and how wide, and I don't know what the actual scripture reference is, but I think it's maybe out of Romans, how deep and how far is the breadth and depth of the love of God that he has for us.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
And but when you do see the arms outstretched, and especially during this time of Lent and Easter coming up in just a few weeks, you know, he came here for us. He died for us so that we could live for him. And especially when you become a parent, and you and I are both parents, it's like, man, God, you did that for me. You love me that much. You didn't even love me that much. You love me more than I love my own kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is a stunning realization. I think, especially if you grow up in the church or you've heard it a lot, you think, oh, yeah, he came, and you don't realize, like, he didn't have to. He did that because he loved you.
Exactly.
And wanted to make a way for us to be with him. And
exactly.
It really is. It's a stunning realization that should be life-changing.
You have to think about that God could have just said, you know what? I'm done. Even back during the Old Testament, you know, Noah, you know, that's it. Y'all screwed up. That's it. I'm done. See ya. But you loved us so much that you gave your only son. But the whole thing is that, you know, people think, oh, well, Jesus is just a crutch and stuff. No, he's not. No, he's not. It's two things. And this is why I like Living Abundantly, track 8. It's not just about getting through this life so you can get to have a happy life with Jesus in heaven. It's about living the abundant life now, serving him through other people, being called on this earth to live out his will in your life, and then you get heaven as reward. Am I correct in that, or am I just going off here?
Oh, no, I say that all the time. Actually, that song you're referring to, that's written on John 10:10. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life abundant, or life and life to the full, depending on which translation you read.
Right,
and
right.
When you meet the Lord, your eternal life starts now. Like,
that's right.
You are living life in relationship with Jesus the way it was meant to be. It's life the way it was meant to be, an adventure with God, and then you get to go to heaven and be with him forever.
That's right.
It's not just sort of your ticket for later, and then you do whatever you want here, or you, you know, stumble through this.
It's
actually meant to be real, true, abundant life.
That's exactly right. You mentioned, I want to go back and talk about your heart for adoption, and then I want to talk about your son, Toby. Talk about, you have a real heart for adoption, don't you?
Yeah, I do. We, because of Toby, which we'll talk about in a little bit, we found ourselves getting real passionate about children. Toby is my third biological child, and we started partnering. I'm a Compassion International artist. I work with them on poverty relief for kids in real hard situations. We've worked with special needs kids. We've worked to fight child trafficking. We've done a lot of stuff with kids, and we've gotten to travel a lot around the world and see a lot of really hard places. And one of the side effects was we've met a lot of orphans. After a while, you realize once you're about 3 years old, especially if you have any kind of medical needs, your chance of being adopted is just about nothing. We just felt very strongly that maybe we were supposed to do more. And it was after a trip to Nicaragua about 3 years ago, we got on the plane and we both were just like, that's it, we need to move on this. And we ended up not choosing, our kids are all from China. We'd say we didn't choose China. We chose our son, our first son, Noah. Saw him, and that's a cool story, but you might have to read it on my blog time. But just the way the Lord told us, that was our son, and we brought him home 2 years ago this week. He was 9, and he had a very major, scary heart condition, and he's had several surgeries, and he's doing amazing now. And then last summer, actually it was Noah in the hospital. We were in the hospital for about a month after his last surgery, and he looked at me, and he said, Mom, our minivan has 8 seats. And I said, yeah, it does. And he said, there's only 6 of us. And I said, yeah. And he said, there's so many kids in China who still need family.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, you can already see the heart of my Noah. And so last summer, not just because of the minivan, but last summer we went back and we adopted Ethan, who is 9 now, and Anna, who is 7.
Fantastic.
And it's a little bit Wild West at my house, but it's awesome.
Me, I hear you. My cousin, her husband is an RUF pastor in Lynchburg, Virginia, at Liberty University, and she adopted 2. They actually call the adoption day their We Got You Day. We got you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. Caroline is 10. Yeah. She has alopecia. And they adopted an African-American boy, Jameson. So she's going through all that stuff. It's the whole story of that, you know, we are adopted. We are grafted into the vine of Christ. And there's so many allegories there. Here's It As Well With My Soul, Jennifer Shaw's version on Duncan's Garage.
His own blood for my soul.
And you just heard a wonderful rendition of It As Well With My Soul, the old classic hymn, of course. Ron Stafford with you for just a few more minutes here on Duncan's Garage. Jennifer, it's powerful, it's passionate, and you do just a wonderful job with it. How did this end up on the album?
Well, you know, because I do a lot of speaking, actually. I do a lot of conferences and women's retreats, mm-hmm. and I wrote this album as a toolkit, I say a ministry toolkit, where, you know, some of the topics that I've been covering, I haven't, you know, maybe I need a new song for that or whatever, and I always try to include a couple of hymns, because I use those a lot, and women, you know, they relate to them, they're familiar, and
right. That
particular hymn has amazing words. Actually kind of hard to do it as a solo, but the reason I ended up on the album is really just because I love my mom. Because my mom, that's like her favorite hymn, and she'd been asking and asking and asking, and I said, you know what, then we'll figure it out as a solo. And,
that's right.
And we did, and you'll see if you look at the album, it's actually dedicated to my mom. So she, you know, she cried. That was the whole point, to make her happy.
Very cool. We've got a couple minutes left. Talk about Toby and just the stuff, for lack of a better word, that you went through with him a few years back.
Yeah, so Toby, as I said, he's my youngest biological child. He's and when he was born, we were overjoyed because it was after we had lost that pregnancy. And we actually did not think we'd be able to have more children. And that was wonderful, but he was just not like other kids. And he was never happy. And to make a very long story short, we had taken him to many specialists, and no one could tell us what was going on. But by the time he was 2 years old, which was right when my dad actually passed away, so we had all of this happening at the same time.
Okay.
At that time, Toby could not talk, or he couldn't communicate. He didn't. He couldn't be touched, he couldn't eat, he couldn't go outside, he didn't play, he didn't move. He just cried, and he had cried for 2 years, and it was just really hard. And it was at that time that we finally said, you know, nobody seems to know what's wrong with Toby, but maybe if Toby could talk, we could ask Toby. And so we got him into this very intensive speech therapy program he qualified for, because he had no sounds and he was 2 years old. And they had an occupational therapist on staff, and she's the one who came to me and diagnosed him with sensory processing disorder, which is related to autism in that if you're autistic, you have it, but you can have it and not be autistic, which we didn't know, but that was the case with Toby. And he started therapy, and we went from, I mean, we just basically had a miracle in our home. And I wrote a book about it, actually, because it was so amazing, and I would talk about him in shows. And SPD is really common now. It's one in every 20 children will have SPD, not to the extent that Toby did, but enough that it interferes with their learning in school. So that's one in every classroom in America. And so I would talk about him, and I would get so much email and so many people asking, you know, what did you do? How did it? Then I ended up writing our book, which is called Life Not Typical.
Right.
And that's Toby's story. But it's a neurological condition where their brain is misinterpreting sensory input. And it looks really different with different children, depending on the sensory system and how their brain is misreading it. But in Toby's case, he couldn't process touch. And so, for example, if he got a drop of water on his skin, rather than his brain telling him that felt wet, his brain would misread that and tell him he was being burned. And if he tried to eat food, it felt like the food was cutting his mouth. And if he tried to go outside, the breeze outside felt like electrical shocks on his skin. And he was so terrified, he was shutting down. And therapy, there's no drugs or medications. It's play-based occupational therapy.
Right.
We went from a totally non-functional child to a child who in a year was he almost wouldn't recognize he had any issues. And now Toby is 13. He's unbelievable. He's been discharged from all of his therapies since about kindergarten. And no one even believes the story when they know him. They're like, that didn't happen.
That's fantastic.
I mean, because he's totally fine. I mean, he's the only thing that he thinks he'll deal with for the rest of his life is that he's always going to be unusually neat. We're like, oh, woe is me. And I can tell you as his mother, he's not actually unusually neat either. But he's just a great kid. He plays tennis. He loves to swim. My kid, you couldn't get a drop of water on him.
And now he just loves the stuff. Yeah, interesting.
He's a phenomenal student. He's just been accelerated a grade. I mean, it's just, he's an amazing kiddo.
Very cool.
A blessing every day.
Very cool. Yeah. The stories you shared are just absolutely fantastic. I just want to say thank you for the time today. For all the speaking engagements, our listeners can go to jennifershaw.com. It's all one word, right? Jennifershaw.com. That's the place.
Excellent. The place under events.
Excellent. And your Facebook page is hopping. It's fantastic. You can see what Nate looks like and all the cool stuff there. So, again, jennifershaw.com. Check her out, jennifershaw.com. You're going to love that video on How Far Love Goes. Believe me, that was the first time I heard the voice. It's actually done from a rooftop in Nashville. I'm just going to say that. That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you so very much for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and an even better tomorrow.